I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. We are listening to Grillin' Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And live in the studio with us, Bob, we've got one of our oldest sponsors and one of our favorite guests is Corey and Shasta from the Old World Olive Company. Glad you set that up. And what do you want to talk about with them?
Of course. Well, welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Very often, Shasta just shows up when you're out on vacation.
Right.
Now, I used her this weekend, so you can't use her next weekend when I'm on vacation.
Well, unless she's got more to say when we're done.
Right? Okay, what do you think, Corey? Will she? Corey is the quiet one in the background. He just does the bookkeeping and drives her around. And
looks pretty.
Yeah.
He just looks pretty.
He does all the grilling down there at Old World. But tell our listeners what the concept is behind an oil and vinegar shop.
So the concept is you think of like a tasting room. Think of wine tasting. So you go in to a winery. You're not familiar with what flavors they have. And so you get little samples. It's the same thing in an olive oil and vinegar store. We've got little sample cups for you. So you can come in, sample the different flavors that you might be interested in, even pair them together. That's really, I always say that's where the magic happens, and it truly is. So it's just a time for you to come in and be able to explore different flavors and find a way to elevate your cooking.
Yeah.
So when you say flavors, most people, I would assume, that think that olive oil is olive oil and balsamic vinegar is like a traditional 18-year, because that's what most stores have. You go down the aisle and there's olive oil. There might
right.
be six brands, but it's all just EVO.
Except
right.
I don't know that traditional is 18-year. I think the average balsamic is way less, isn't it?
Usually of 18 years.
Is
about,
it? Oh, I thought yours
you can
was
get
the
a 12.
Only one like that.
You can get a 12, but 18-year, and it depends. It's got to be certified from the consortium, so not all 18 years are the same.
Right.
Right.
Go ahead.
Talk. Just like all 18-year-olds, not quite
not
the same.
Not the same.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, so let's explore that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start on the balsamic side, which is tell us what balsamic is, if yep. our listeners don't know, and then how does it get different flavors?
Sure. So balsamic dates all the way back to biblical times, and if you follow balsamic at all, which I'm pretty positive a lot of people probably haven't done that research, but if you date that all the way back,
that's what we have you for.
Right. I'm such a scholar. it dates all the way back to biblical times, and it's used for various. Back in the day, it was used for an elixir. It was used to settle your stomach, indigestion, all sorts of.
Well, Grandma even taught us that.
Yeah. I mean, it goes way back. So the concept of balsamic is it starts with a little must or a fermentation type process, kind of like the wine process. It's a very similar process that you go through. So you get that must, you get it fermented.
Hold on, time out. When you say a must, is that the same thing that we would start a vinegar with?
Yes.
I mean, is it just basically the
yes.
same way you make vinegar?
Absolutely. Yep.
Where does it take off from vinegar?
Well, from there, then you add in a little bit of like a red wine vinegar. And so it starts that fermentation process. You close it up in wooden casks and then you let it sit for a year. After that year, you take it out. You put it into a different flavored barrel, like maybe you used oak the first time. Next time you're going to use a walnut, maybe a cherry after that. And you just switch the different barrel types of wood. And each one of those types of wood is going to give the balsamic its independent flavor.
So then once you use that for a year like that, that barrel's kind of shot, isn't it?
Yeah, it
I
is.
I mean, you're not going to try making balsamic with it again.
Probably not. I mean, I've heard of places that do.
I suppose you could store...
You
store some in
yeah,
it if you've
you
already
store
got
some stuff in it.
So this process then within eight, are they all 18 years old or?
So what we have, the majority of the dark balsamic vinegars are an 18-year base. The white balsamics are aged, but they're not aged the same as a red. So
is that going to be like a white grape then?
Yes. Yep. It sure is.
Okay.
Yeah. So once that aging process is done for however long you've aged the balsamic, whether it's, 10, 12, or 18 years, you take that out, and what you have left is your true, authentic balsamic.
Okay, so just talking vinegar in general,
mm-hmm.
I mean, most people use like a distilled vinegar for cleaning, apple vinegar for whatever they like, this and that. I use it for my pickles. Mm-hmm. I also like a rice wine vinegar for certain foods. How do you make that choice on a vinegar as to, is it just up to your taste, or is there, are there rules for, you know, these are best used with this? And
right. So we rely on the knowledge of the best producers out there. And so we work with one of the two top producers in Modena, Italy, and they make that decision at the time that they are getting that balsamic vinegar to must and then to ferment and then to take it through that long process.
So drawing a parallel, and I'm going way out on a limb here because I really don't know what I'm talking about, but we take grapes and we ferment them, and at some point there's a sugar added for wine, but there's anything added for balsamic? Or
wine doesn't necessarily always get sugar added.
But they come. So I guess where I'm going is, help me understand, when I get grapes that are pressed and I've got juice, it sounds like,
right,
what takes me down the wine road and what takes me down the vinegar road?
Yeah, what makes it sour?
So what makes it sour is, of course, going to be all that fermentation and the grape itself.
But why wouldn't you get a stronger wine?
Well, you could. I mean, you certainly could. But if you go back to the days of what's been registered through the consortium and what they consider is true balsamic vinegar, there's only really one way to make it.
So if you had some red wine and you put some red wine vinegar in with it and put it in a little fermenter, mm-hmm, of some sort, mm-hmm, in a year, would you have a red wine vinegar?
You're going to have a red wine vinegar at that point. Now,
so it's almost like a starter.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, like
yogurt.
Yeah, or something.
It is.
Yeah, because if you're taking wine and putting vinegar in it and it transfers it, the whole thing, to vinegar, then it's almost like a starter yeast or
exactly
something.
You got to get that.
I wish I understood that better, because I
kind
don't.
Kind of like the mother when you see, know, apple
sourdough
cider vinegar.
Or
kind
like
of
the lime in the coconut.
Well, yeah, sort of like that, Bob.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh. That's your pain med speaking.
but anyway, so I didn't mean to pin you down on the science,
no.
But I've just never understood how it was made and, mm-hmm, the difference between, I mean, clearly there's a taste difference between,
right,
wine and vinegar, but I didn't know where in that process it goes one way or the other.
Yeah.
So talk to Brian Lesperance down at Finn Valley sometime, too. He probably's got to handle the wine side of that.
He's a really good parallel to how balsamic is made.
Right. So anyway, so it's made.
Mm-hmm.
And then how does it get the flavors in it?
So after that, the essence of whatever flavor we're going for. So, for instance, we have, let's say, a raspberry. So they're using the natural flavor of the raspberry. So they're pulling out the raspberry oils and all those essential flavors of the raspberry. And then it's put into that balsamic that came out of those casks.
At some point during the
process.
I've got my 18-year balsamic, mm-hmm, sitting in front of me. I impart the fruit juice. And then it becomes whatever.
My mouth is watering.
In your case,
right,
raspberry.
You
have so raspberry many flavored balsamic.
Yeah, we do.
You know, your favorite one, my favorite, grapefruit.
Right. I love grapefruit.
So we are nowhere near done this conversation. So we're going to dive into a little more balsamic, then I'm sure we'll get into the flavored olive oils as well. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.